Hey, all you operations leaders out there working in mining, construction, energy, all that, keeping your people safe. It's a huge deal, right?
Absolutely.
We know you got a lot on your plate every day, and well, we're here to try to make at least one thing a little bit easier for you.
That's right.
So we're going to be taking a deep dive today into really the stuff that makes a difference when it comes to safety and operations.
Yeah, this is about practical insights you can actually put to use like right away.
Yeah, exactly.
Today, we'll be uncovering some of those hidden gaps in how we typically approach safety,
Okay.
lay the foundation for a really strong safety culture, and even get into this like really powerful tool for predicting accidents.
Really?
We call it the nature study.
That sounds kind of wild.
It is pretty cutting edge stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to be talking about the World Risk Poll 2024,
Okay.
some academic research that's really fascinating.
I'm ready.
Get ready for some interesting stats.
Okay, hit me.
All right, so first up, let's talk about gaps in safety, right? So the World Risk Poll surveyed people from 142 countries and territories. So it's a huge data set.
Wow.
What it revealed was that 18% of the
What?
global workforce experienced some kind of serious harm at work in the past 2 years.
18%.
That's millions and millions of people.
Millions of people.
Yeah, it's a big number.
I mean, I know that, the industries we're talking about, mining, construction, energy, they're not exactly, risk-free, but I never would have guessed 18%.
Yeah, and here's the thing, that number is probably even higher
Oh, no.
because underreporting is a huge problem.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So globally, only about half of the people who experience some type of harm at work actually report it.
So it could be way more than 18%.
Way more.
Wow.
Yeah, that means we're missing a big chunk of the data that we need to really understand, what's causing these accidents.
So why aren't people reporting these incidents? I mean, is it, fear of getting in trouble or what?
Yeah, I mean, fear of repercussions, lack of trust in management, or even just, not understanding how important it is to report those near misses.
Okay, when you add on top of that 62% of the global workforce has never received occupational safety and health training.
62% have never.
Never.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's mind-blowing.
So you can see how big this problem is.
It's like sending people out there without the, basic knowledge to stay safe.
It is.
Like we're setting them up to get hurt.
Absolutely.
That's
Yeah,
crazy.
and it's not just about, legal compliance. We're
Yeah.
talking about people's lives, right? This isn't just a statistic. These are your people,
Yeah, your
the
team.
people you're working with every day.
Absolutely.
It's a big deal.
Wow. Okay. So we've got people who aren't really trained up on safety and they're not reporting incidents when they happen.
Right.
So how do we fix that? How do we go beyond just checking boxes,
Right.
and build a culture where people actually, feel empowered to speak up when they see something?
That is the question, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's not an easy fix,
Right.
but there are things we can do.
First, you got to think about that reporting issue. Would you feel comfortable reporting something if you thought you might get in trouble?
Yeah, no, probably not.
Or that it would just be ignored?
Right.
So how do you build trust?
Yeah.
It starts from the top.
Okay.
Management needs to make it clear that safety is the number one priority,
Okay.
and they have to back that up with action.
Right.
So when somebody reports a near miss or a hazard, you take it seriously,
Yeah.
you investigate it, and you communicate back to the person who reported it.
Oh, okay. So you close that loop.
You close the loop
Okay.
and let them know, hey, we heard you, this is what we found, and this is what we're doing about it.
Okay, so they see that it actually makes a difference.
Right,
Okay,
exactly.
what about the training gap, though? Is it just about, like, providing more training?
More training is part of it,
Okay.
but it's got to be good training, right?
Oh, okay.
So, engaging interactive stuff tailored to the specific risks that they're facing every day.
Okay, so make it relevant.
Make it relevant, make it ongoing, and reinforce it regularly.
Okay, so how do we even know if it's working? Can we, like, measure that?
Yeah, that's where the data comes in.
All right.
Remember all those unreported incidents?
Right, yeah, all those.
Well, effective training can actually help with that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so the World Risk Poll found that workers who received, that occupational safety and health training, they were way more likely to actually report incidents.
Oh, interesting. So it's not that the training prevents the accidents, but it makes them more likely to report them.
Exactly.
And then we have more data.
More data, more understanding, better solutions.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it's a virtuous cycle.
So that kind of brings us to that nature study thing,
Yes.
which I'm still not totally clear on how that works.
Okay.
So you said it can help us actually predict accidents.
Yeah, so think about how epidemiologists track the spread of diseases.
Oh, okay.
They use models, right, to understand how a disease moves through a population, helps them predict outbreaks and stuff.
Right.
Well, the Nature study is kind of similar.
Oh, okay.
But for accidents.
So instead of tracking viruses, we're tracking accidents.
Exactly. Right. So it looks at, you know, who's susceptible to accidents,
right,
who's having minor accidents, who's having major ones, and unfortunately, you know, the fatal ones.
Right.
And it kind of maps out the transitions between those states.
Oh, so like some people might go from susceptible to minor accidents.
Right.
And then some of those might become major accidents.
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
And by studying that, we can figure out what makes those transitions more or less likely.
Okay. So instead of just waiting for an accident to happen and then reacting to it, we can actually try to predict it and prevent it.
Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. So we move from reactive to a predictive approach.
Wow.
And early results are really promising.
So how can our listeners actually use this in their own organizations?
Okay, let's say you're managing a mining operation.
Okay.
You can input data on the types of equipment being used, the experience levels of your workers, the types of tasks, environmental conditions, all that stuff.
Okay.
The model crunches the numbers and tells you where the highest risks are.
So it could be like, this type of equipment in these conditions equals higher risk.
Right, exactly.
Oh, that's cool.
Then you know where to focus your safety interventions.
Okay.
Maybe you need more training for those people or more frequent safety checks, or maybe even you redesign the whole process.
Wow. So it's like having a crystal ball.
It's getting there.
That's amazing.
But of course, it's not one size fits all. Oh. You got to tailor it to your industry and even to your specific work site.
Okay.
But the idea is the same, you know? Use data to understand how accidents happen and then use that to predict them.
This is really cool stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm sure our listeners are going to want to know more about how to implement this.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, let's kind of step back and look at the big picture. We've talked about a lot today.
Yeah.
Those global stats, the importance of building a safety culture.
Right.
And this nature study thing.
Yeah. It's a lot to take in.
It is. And, you know, even with the best systems in place, accidents can still happen.
Yeah.
It's the reality of these industries.
Yeah, that's true.
It's sobering.
So then what happens, you know, when something does happen, when despite all our best efforts, something bad happens?
Right.
What should our listeners be doing to prepare for that?
Well, that's where having a solid incident response plan comes in.
Okay.
You need to know exactly, you know, who does what, how you'll communicate with everyone, and how to contain the situation.
So it's not just preventing accidents, it's also how you respond when they do happen.
Exactly.
Okay, so what are some of the things that leaders need to think about when they're putting together one of these plans?
Well, first and foremost, communication is key.
Oh, sure.
In the middle of an incident, you know, things can get chaotic.
Right.
You need to get clear and accurate information out there quickly.
Okay.
You need a point person for communication.
Okay.
And a clear process for talking to employees, the media, the community.
So who should be on that team? I imagine it's more than just the PR folks.
You're right. It needs to involve operations leaders, safety experts, lawyers, maybe even government relations, depending on the scale of the incident.
Right.
And you have to practice.
Right.
You got to run drills, simulate different situations so everyone knows what to do.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Having a plan on paper is one thing.
Right.
But you got to know how to actually use it when things are going crazy.
Under pressure.
Right. And don't forget about what happens after the incident.
Okay.
There will be investigations, legal issues. Mm-hmm. You'll need to support the employees and families that were affected.
Right. Of course.
You got to be ready for all that.
Wow. Okay. So this has been a really insightful deep dive.
Yeah.
I mean, we've covered everything from global stats to practical steps leaders can take to improve safety, and then even how to deal with, you know, those worst case scenarios.
It's a lot.
It is.
But hopefully our listeners are walking away with some ideas they can use.
Yeah, for sure. I hope they're feeling that sense of urgency, you know, because this is important stuff.
It is. And remember, safety's a journey.
Yeah.
You're never really done.
Right.
Always more to learn.
Always improving.
Always improving. You got to be willing to try new things.
Yeah.
And never settle for the status quo.
And don't forget about that safety culture.
Right.
Creating that environment where everyone feels valued and empowered.
Absolutely. Because at the end of the day, this isn't about numbers. It's about people.
Yeah. Sending everyone home safe.
Every single day.
It's a great place to end it.
It is.
Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into safety.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time, everyone stay safe out there.
Thanks for listening. for non-boring safety briefings and fun science fiction stories and short films based on workplace safety, subscribe at sfw.is.